This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Good frosty morning, Bob. It's
Yes.
The wind has changed, hasn't it? And this is the final episode of the season of The Gardening Show.
Correct.
All yep. right. So thanks for joining us once again. And thank you for an informative and entertaining season, as always.
Well, you're welcome.
And hopefully we can do this again next year.
Yes, hopefully.
I hope so. It's been a long-standing tradition. How long have you... You remember what year you started here on...
Yeah.
The Gardening Show?
It started really before it was called The Gardening Show.
Right, Around the Home.
Yeah.
It was called.
And even before that.
Yeah, what was it originally called?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
So what year did you start coming in?
I think it was 92.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was 12. Yeah. So thank you very much again for coming in, and we love to have you here. So... You have a bunch of notes today, I see.
Yeah, I do.
All right. So what's on the agenda?
Because most gardeners or homeowners right now, the biggest thing with their yard is the leaf cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about that.
That's what I spent about 2 hours doing yesterday, is because I've made a pact with myself. I'm not raking anymore.
Oh, okay.
So I ran over with my riding lawnmower for about 2 hours and tried to chop everything up.
Yeah, and I'll talk about that.
Great.
Some of the secrets to making it disappear. But there's a lot of different ways to collect the leaves or get them off your yard, and that's to rake them or to blow them with a leaf blower. Mm-hmm. And the leaf blowers come in gas and electric, even battery operated ones now. And then, or just mowing. And one of the secrets behind, if you got a riding mower that's a discharge, side discharge, is if you go in reverse over a pile of leaves, you'll crush them up much quicker. And then, of course, just going over them and over them time, you know, try to go north-south once. Then east, west the next time, and you will crush them up. They'll just become little tiny chips and won't harm your lawn at all, as long as there isn't too many. You know, if you've got 6 inches of leaves out there, you're probably going to have to collect them somehow. But also, a lot of mowers have collection bags, and that's a good way of collecting them there also. So keep all those in mind. You know, see what kind of trees you have. Do you have maple trees or oak trees or evergreen trees, or do you have walnut trees? Now, if we got walnut trees, we don't really want to collect and put those leaves in our gardens or our flower beds. They're okay in the lawn, but the walnut does have a chemical in it called juglin that can retard or even stop the growth of a lot of plants, not all plants, but a lot of plants. So check to see if you have that walnut. And if you do, don't put that in your garden. And depending on how many leaves you have, what you should do, you know, if you have a tremendous amount of leaves and your mower is really struggling, you may have to rake them or blow them and collect them into a tarp. And I highly recommend, you know, one of those blue tarps, for a good reason, because they're easy to handle, a 10 by 10 or an 8 by 8 tarp, and it drags very easily if you can't lift it because of the way it's the material it's made out of drags right across your lawn. So you can put a bunch of leaves in there, grab all four corners, close them right up, and then drag them to where you want to dump them. Or, you know, if you can, just pick them up like Santa Claus and wing it over your shoulder and walk away with them. So I highly recommend a nice tarp if you've got too many leaves to really handle with your mower. Another way, and I've done this quite a few times, is just an old garbage can. You can just rake them into a pile, then take your garbage can over there, rake them into that can. Then you can even take your string trimmer and crush them all up inside that can as it's upright. And then you have a nice mulch for your garden or your beds. A lot of the leaves, after you've crushed them up with your mower or with the string trimmer, then you can compost them. They make great, great compost. You know, if you're not going to leave them all on your lawn, leave as much as you can on your lawn, though, because it is real good for your lawn. It's really going to be all just about all carbon, and that's going to be good for your soil. All life depends on carbon, and that's going to feed your soil, which is going to feed your lawn. So keep that in mind. Try to leave some on your lawn. Don't vac or blow them all off there. And start a nice compost pile. If you don't have a compost pile and you don't want to do that, then what a lot of people like to do is use them as a mulch around your trees or your shrubs or your vegetable garden or anywhere else, because again, it's very, very beneficial to the soil, which is going to be beneficial to your plants. One thing that, you know, long time ago, before wood mulches, you know, when I was young, we didn't have wood mulches, so everybody used their leaves as a mulch around all our plants. And what it does, if you've ever been into an old leaf pile that sat there for a year, is it starts to grow a fungus. It's a beneficial fungus. It's called a it's a fungus.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Sometimes I get tongue-tied. It's a fungus that's very beneficial. It helps break down the leaves and other plant material, converts them into minerals and vitamins and nutrients that are good for the plants. So adding leaves to around your shrubs and trees, in your flower beds, your vegetable garden, is going to be highly, highly beneficial. So don't let them go to waste. Use every leaf you can. And when you're making a compost pile, I like to take old fencing and make a round bin out of old fencing, wire fencing. And you can use that for decades even. It'll last. And make it big enough, because it'll take, most yards are going to have a lot of leaves. So I usually make my little bins circular, about 4 foot across and about 3 or 4 foot high. And that will fill up with leaves. And over time, it'll compost down to where there's only about 6 inches of good compost soil.
When you say over time, what are we talking, like 2 years?
A year, maybe year. 2 years. Yeah. Okay. It depends on how involved you get with your compost pile. Mm. If you just throw the leaves in there and wait, it'll probably take 2 years. But if you throw them in there, add some soil, some green material, any compost, scraps you get from the kitchen, it's going to be much quicker. Mm-hmm. So it depends on how much investment you want to put into it. Myself, I just kind of pile them in there and leave them set. I can wait.
You're in no hurry.
Yeah. So use those leaves, because they can be really highly beneficial. And make a big enough compost bin to get all your leaves, so you don't have to put them out there for the garbage man or wait till they blow into your neighbor's yard. Try to use every one of them. And in a lot of different ways, like I said, you can rake them or blow them or mow over them, collect them in a big tarp, but use those leaves. Leave some right there on your lawn. And how much can you leave on your lawn? As long as you can still see the grass, you're okay.
As long as like some sunlight can penetrate it, right?
Yes, yeah.
So there's not a bunch of mold that could grow under, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, the mold is not going to be a bad thing, though.
Oh, okay.
From the leaves, again, that's going to be going to turn
that's
into
the good mold?
It's a good mold, a fungus that's going to benefit the soil, which will benefit your plants. But don't get it to the point where you can't see your lawn anymore. And make sure that if you are going to leave them there, that you've mowed over them more than once so that they are fine material, especially if you have a lot of oak trees. Those leaves deteriorate very slowly, so you'll want to crush them right up into almost a powder form, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they will just sit there on your lawn, and through the winter, they're going to keep the soil warm, which is going to keep your grass protected. In the spring, it'll all just disappear and become compost for your lawn, and your lawn will look much better that way even. Matter of fact, you know, you can even do this as an extra benefit. If you have a little thin lawn, and you, fall is a good time to overseed your lawn because our mowing schedule is a lot less. We're not mowing every 5 days. We may only be mowing every 2 or 3 weeks now. So we can overseed. And those chopped up leaves are going to become just like the straw that we would broadcast over that seed. And so we don't have to do straw. We can just broadcast seed. We got all those chopped leaves there as a mulch, protecting the seed, keeping it damp so that a lot more of that seed will germinate and become our new lawn, thicken up our lawn. And it also becomes fertilizer for that new seed. So it will start to grow and survive the winter with no trouble at all.
Very good. Cool. Great advice. Hey, and I should mention the phone lines are open. So if you'd like to talk about, you know, any question you have about, you know, anything garden related, lawn related, tree related, give us a call. 814-368-9372. And we're on Facebook Live as well, so you can just put a comment there, and we can get your message to Bob that way.
You bet. So using some of the chopped up leaves in your vegetable garden or flower bed, I want to explain how beneficial that is. Not only is it full of carbon and going to help your soil, but also you want to put down a nice layer, and if you can, rototill it in, or if you've got a lot of leaves. If you don't want to get more than 6 inches deep, you know, get that 6-inch layer there, rototill it in, or shovel or pitchfork it over so there's soil sitting on top of it. That helps rot it down much quicker. What that's going to do to your soil besides give it healthy is also going to be a better water holding capacity, because now there's a lot of material in there that will hold water much longer, so you're not going to have to water your garden quite as often. So it's just like adding peat moss to your soil. So it's extremely beneficial in the vegetable garden or the flower bed, especially those raised ones that drain real well. So add as much leaf material, and the needles I forgot to mention too.
Oh yeah.
If you have evergreens, you know, not just oaks and maples and birches, if you have evergreens, all that material is still going to be good too. It's not going to acidify your soil. A lot of people think that I don't want to use my pine needles because it's going to make my soil real acidic. It would take tons and tons and tons of it to make your soil acidic. Yeah. So don't be worried about that.
Now, what about the other kind of evergreens that I have, like the arborvitae kind?
Yes, those two.
Those two are okay to use as?
You betcha. They're still very okay. All the arborvitaes, some people call them cedars. Use any evergreen, you know, that, again, try to chop it up with a mower.
Yeah.
You can incorporate that right into your beds or as mulch around your trees and shrubs. Really beneficial.
Okay, great. We're going to take a short break. We'll thank our sponsor, at Worth W. Smith. Thank them again for another year of sponsoring the show, keeping it going. We love them. And hey, we'll be right back in 30 seconds with The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
If you need it for fall, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. For fall cleanup, they have a big supply of trash cans and trash bags, including large leaf bags. It's time to stock up on your heating supplies like pellets, propane, and hard-to-find coal. They have it all at Worth Smith. With winter just around the corner, don't forget your rock salt, plus pet-safe ice melter. And they still have all sizes of canning jars and canning supplies. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to the Gardening Show. 75 years of serving Bradford, WESB, AM 1490 and B107.5 FM. And we are streaming on, we're on Facebook Live, so you could check us out there. And also on demand, WESB.com. Every episode from the last, at least three seasons are on there.
Something good. Like that.
So
all right.
Lots of information there. So hopefully that'll get you through the winter.
Yeah.
Thinking about the spring, hearing all that great advice. And we were talking about a little earlier about using, dead leaves.
Yep.
You know, and the pine needles and the arborvitae and things like that. And you have to grind them up. You say you have to chop them up with the mower?
It's a lot more beneficial if you do.
Okay. Now, talking about like the brown that you get in those, in your my bushes and, you know, like the arborvitae and stuff, do you have to, rake it out or shake it out? Or what would happen if you just let it in there? Does it hinder the growth? Does it spread decay in the bushes?
It does several things. Yeah, it does. It can hinder the growth because it can block sunlight. That's he's talking about those brown patches in your evergreens. Or it can harbor pests. Mm. It gives them a nice protected area to overwinter. So it is a good idea to take your blower and blow through those shrubs, try to knock out some of those brown spots, or take a rake and comb your evergreens. That'll get rid of a lot of that, and it'll drop right to the ground. You know, you can leave it right there. It'll be beneficial for the shrub or tree. But do try to get that brown out if at all possible.
Okay. Now, when you say pests, do you mean like little bugs?
Yeah, little bugs, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what they're looking for, any kind of protection that they can get through the winter. And a lot of times those little brown spots, they will persist all winter long, stay right on the shrub, and that's a good place for those pests to make their winter home and come back even stronger the next year. So it's a good idea to comb or blow out or shake those brown spots out any way you can.
What's appealing about the brown rather than the green for the pests?
Nothing really that I know of. It's just a nice protected area. Usually those brown spots are a little bit thicker.
Okay.
And so the pests can remain in there. The green spots, they're still growing. So not only is the pest there, but the beneficial insects that feed on the pest are going to be there.
Okay. That's probably it. Okay.
And most of those pests, you know, when I say just comb them out with your rake or blow them out with your blower or even with a good blast from the garden hose or a good shake, when it hits the ground, most of those pests are going to die off as soon as they hit the ground because they won't have enough energy to get back up to a good nesting site again.
Okay. That's okay. Great advice. Now, when we're talking about preparing for winter, and I know we mentioned it a little a couple of weeks ago too, about like the deer and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you put like fencing around your, you know, small trees and things like that, like when's a good time to assume that it's okay that the deer would leave it alone or the peak of that season would be not a concern anymore?
I usually wait till at least March.
Oh, okay.
Because you do have usually a big feeding season from the deer that starts the beginning of winter. They're going around testing all their food sources. And then come March, when they're extremely hungry because they have run out of a food source, then they do another heavy feeding around that time, February, March, that time period. So leave any of your deer protections on till late March.
Okay. And what is the, in your experience, the best kind of way? I know you kind of encourage the deer on your property. Yeah, it's a little different for you, but you know the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, fencing is usually the best way. There are a lot of spray deterrents. They all work for a short period of time, but if you don't reapply constantly, then the deer will be in there. So
constantly, like a couple times a week, or
necessarily that. Probably a couple times a month least. Yeah. And most of us really don't want to be out there in a blizzard reapplying. You know, because they do, the scent leaves them. They're all scent-based usually. The scent leaves them after a period of a few weeks, or a rain or a wet snow washes them off. So they have to be reapplied quite often. And most of them will even tell you you can't reapply on a freezing day. Well, that can be pretty hard to find in the winter, a non-freezing day. So it's a good idea If you're going to use the scents, be prepared for a little bit of damage. You know, and a little bit of damage isn't necessarily a bad thing. Even think about fencing, though.
Well, now, when you say fencing, does it have to be a certain kind of, size of the hole? Like, you have to make sure, like, the netting of the fence is, like, a smaller, or does really kind of any size...
Yeah, just help. About any size, from a 2-inch hole on up. You know, there is one that I highly recommend. Is it's either bird fencing or deer fencing. It's a plastic material that's black. So when you stretch it over the shrub, it kind of disappears, really. But it does keep the deer and the rabbits and so on away from that plant, because they really don't like the feel of that. Or they just can't get to the foliage at all. So I highly recommend that material rather than putting up wire fencing. That can be pretty labor intensive and a little unsightly.
Okay. We have a phone call.
All right.
814-368-9372 to get on the gardening show. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. This is a little far out, but I have a wild animal feeder, and big variety of animals come every night. Well, somehow, from somewhere, I've inherited a rat.
Ooh.
Oh.
And I'm trying to figure a way to dispose of the rat without harming the other animals.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know where he came from. All of a sudden, there he was.
Yeah.
Now, when you, the other animals, are they birds or are they other mammals?
Oh, I've got raccoons and possums and skunks and deer and just about everything.
And you like the skunks?
The skunks are fine.
Okay.
They'll eat out there right along with everyone else.
Yeah.
Don't bother them. They don't bother you, I guess.
Wow. That's a difficult one. You know, right away I think a trap, well, you may get the skunk. I think of poisons, well, you may get the raccoon.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I think he is living under the deck. If I don't know if anybody else goes under there or not, if there was something that I could throw in there that he would eat that nobody else would get to, but I'm almost afraid to try anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could get one of those traps that you can get where, like, they go in the little hole. You know, they have rat traps where it's like not a humane, but out of sight kind of trap where the other animals wouldn't be able to get in there, right? I mean, the raccoon couldn't get into one of those boxes.
Once they're in there, they can't get back out, I hope.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There is those save a heart traps. You can get a small one. That's, of course, you can still get a skunk or the neighborhood cat, but it'll be too small for a raccoon or a woodchuck to get into.
Well, I've had that feeder for probably 30 years, and I've never before had a rat.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. To me, what I would do is just ignore it, because eventually the neighbor coyote or bobcat is going to get it.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, though, if there's one rat, there's probably going to be
more. Don't say that.
Oh, yeah. Don't
right?
say that.
Well, I mean, they're not like solitary creatures.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
They have
there.
To have a mom somewhere, right?
Yeah. Boy, yeah, that's a difficult one. Again, to me, you know, you've been doing it for 30 years. And I
never had anything undesirable like that before.
Yeah. And chances are nature's going to take care of it for you.
Well, let's hope so. And thank you, and thank again for the show.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
That's a tough situation.
If you're feeding, you're feeding animals, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're going to get all of them.
You can expect it. And like I said, nature's probably going to take care of the smaller animals and the weak animals. And
there'll be a hawk around at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
To pick it up. I don't know. Yeah. But like I was trying to say, one of those, they have those traps for rodents.
Yeah.
That are only have a little opening, like a couple inches.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they can go in the box. And
It's either
like a glue trap or a snap trap inside that.
I know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But she seems to be really concerned about all the other animals.
Yeah, but too, a skunk can't in there, though.
That's what maybe a squirrel or chipmunk.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
There's more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, if you're only feeding birds, I found out that a trick is, because I keep chickens, and a trick is that you could put spicy in their feed if you have a rat problem, because a lot of people have rat problems when they keep their feed outside, and birds don't taste that spice,
right?
The hot, and all mammals do.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Yep. That's a very cool little trick there. So
yep, it is.
You could put like some cayenne pepper or like ghost pepper flakes or something in there, and birds love
it. A lot of people
they just
do
don't care.
With their bird feeders to keep the squirrels and chipmunks out. Use some of that cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the hot pepper deterrents, and it'll keep the mammals out, but the birds enjoy it.
Yep, that's very, very cool. So we are just about out of time. We have about 2 minutes left. Any final parting words for this season?
Again, I just like to stress, use those leaves because they are really beneficial to all sorts of areas in your yard, like your soil in your beds, or as a mulch all around your trees and shrubs, because they are going to add a lot of nutrients and a lot of warmth. We think of our trees and shrubs going dormant in the winter. Well, that's kind of an odd term. They really don't stop growing. On top of the ground, yes, they may stop growing, lose all their leaves, but their root system continues to grow and continues to manufacture food as long as the soil isn't frozen. So if we have that nice thick layer of leaves around the base, around the root system, then they can continue to do so for a much longer period of time through the winter.
So before you start collecting the leaves and maybe you're thinking you're going to burn them.
Yeah.
Maybe think about,
using them.
Use them.
Use them.
Because you're going to have a healthier lawn overall. And hey, to me, it's just like an easier thing to do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you have the mower,
you're doing in your yard.
Chop them up.
Just mow over them. Yeah. It takes a little while, but.
You got to go over a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Two or three, four times.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's about all.
But
yeah.
Yeah. It'll be beneficial and
to your lawn.
And then you don't have to figure out what to do with all those dead leaves.
Yeah. and hopefully even some of that leaf dust will block out that sun where that weed seed is waiting to germinate.
There we go.
And it can't germinate because it has that mulch layer of leaves over it.
Very good. Well, thank you once again for a great season of The Gardening Show. Hopefully we'll have you back next season.
So okay, thank you,
Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris. The Gardening Show on WESB, B107.5 FM.